Blog Talk Radio.
Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word. Take your truth, plant it deep in us, shape and fashion us in your likeness, that the
Sister Pearl, can you hear me? Sister Pearl, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, I think we might have had a connection problem there at first, but your mic is open and we are live.
Yeah, I was speaking the whole time. I don't know what happened. But anyway, good morning to you, and so grateful for this opportunity to be with you, Evangelist Montel, and Reaching Out Radio. recording this morning, but hopefully we can hear it at any time. I want to bring to you something very special that God has put in my heart. We are living in a day that is perhaps unlike any other day. The last maybe decade or so, I've been using the term unprecedented. So we're living in unprecedented times, meaning that we're living in days that we've never passed through these type of days before. It's new to us. It's different. It's very challenging. I'm thinking about even what's happening with the negotiations of the American government and the nation of Iran. And even though that's those two governments, we know at the end of the day that whatever agreement is going to be made between these two nations, the United States, America, and Iran, it's going to eventually trickle down and affect the remainder of the world. So it's a global issue. It's not just a two-country issue. It's a very strange time for even America and Iran to be having these kinds of debates. Then we're talking about politicians. As many of you know, in America, people are getting ready to place their names in as candidates for our big election that's going to take place, if it ever does take place, November 2016, God willing, next year. And so we find that some of the people are telling the truth and some of them are just plain lying, and other politicians are just plain criminal. We're in a time in the USA where the military are being killed right inside of our borders. And not only within our borders, but actually on the base. These are days like we have not seen days like these before. Just recently, five people that belong to the naval part of our military were just gunned down, right, just like that. Not in a war zone, but within our borders. These are different days. Then we've come to a place where the Supreme Court of the United States has decided that two men can marry each other, two women can marry each other. And then they're going to push the envelope till they want to be able to marry multiple partners at the same time. So we're definitely in different times. And believers in Christ have got to really consider, what is God saying to us? What should our posture be? What should our position be? What should our response be? We've come to a time in history that the government is actually promoting teaching perversion to our children in the public schools. It's just been exposed recently that one of the major players of abortion industry, when I say major players, I mean not only within American borders, but Planned Parenthood has gone globally. So Planned Parenthood goes to Africa and deals in African nations. It goes to Australia. It goes to South America, North America, Alaska. It's all over the globe. In Asia, Planned Parenthood is big in Asia as well. So Planned Parenthood has just been recently exposed as selling aborted baby parts. Now, I personally knew that this was going on because of my understanding of a few things. But now it's out in the open, the cover is off, and yet you do not hear a national outcry in America where this was exposed. Actually, we saw on one of the videos that was being exposed, the doctor was drinking wine, eating her meal, eating her healthy salad, and talking at the same time about selling aborted baby parts and cutting them up in a certain way so that they can get more money for those parts, for what they call, quote-unquote, specimens. So the question is to the believing child of God, what is God saying to his children in this season? And the message that he's given me is taken from 1 Peter chapter 4, and I'm going to actually read 11 verses in the first portion of chapter 4 of 1 Peter. Let's just pray before we read God's word. This is not going to be a preaching this time. This is going to be more like a teaching, more like an admonishment. It's going to be a message of what is God saying to his sons and daughters in this season. What is God instructing us to do as people that have totally surrendered and given our lives to Jesus Christ? Heavenly Father, we come before your throne in brokenness, in humility, understanding that if you don't lead us, and that if you don't guide us, if you don't direct us in this time, we will not be able to fulfill our God-given destiny. But we're so grateful that in this season, in this time, you give us clear direction. We don't have to be confused, because we know that you're not a God of confusion. You're a God of clarity. You're a God of light. You're a God that leads and guides your children perfectly. And so, Father, we look to you this day, in this season, for such a time as this. Thank you, God, that you're not nervous. You're not stressed out. You're God. And you want your children to be just like you. You want us to follow your great example so that we can stand strong in this season. We don't have to be nervous. We don't have to be stressed out. We don't have to be confused. We don't have to get heart attacks. We don't have to get migraine headaches. Our stomachs do not have to be wound up in knots. But we can draw from that well that is limitless. And that's your precious well of water, the living water that you gave that woman at the well in John chapter 4. And you extend that same water to us today in 2015. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Now breathe upon your handmaiden. Your word is already breathed upon. It's already anointed. It already has everything that we need. But I need your anointing to deliver this word in a way that would honor and glorify your name. And I'm also going to ask you to open up the hearing of those that would listen, so they would hear perfectly what you have to say to your children in Jesus' name. Amen. So would you please allow me to read, listening audience on Reaching Out Radio. I'm going to be reading 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, and it reads like this. I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible. Therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose, because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh no longer for the lust of men, but for the will of God. For the time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desires of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In all this, they are surprised that you do not run with them into the same excesses of dissipation, and they malign you. But they will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For the gospel has for this purpose been preached even to those who are dead, that though they are judged in the flesh as men, they may live in the spirit according to the will of God. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint, as each one has received a special gift. Employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. What you just heard read is 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. I believe by the grace of God, the next time we're going to have a part two to this message, and we're going to finish verses 12 through 19 of 1 Peter chapter 4. So what I'm talking about, beloved, is God's instructions to us for such a time as this, in this season. What does the Word of God mean, really, about Christ suffering for us in the flesh? And so because of that, we need to arm ourselves also with the same mind. I believe what this means is that Jesus Christ, not only did he suffer in the flesh, he's already given his life sacrificially. He laid down his very life. He gave his body to be allowed to be crucified on a cross. We know that that was a wonderful thing that happened, even though it was a great sacrifice for our Lord Jesus. But it was a great thing for us, because it was only because of the blood of Jesus Christ being poured out and his body being crucified and him actually dying and taking on our sin. That's the reason that you and I can be called sons and daughters of God, because he laid down his life and he gave us life in Christ, in him. And so Christ suffered in the flesh. Christ already died. That's why Paul says in Galatians chapter 2, I am crucified with Christ. And nevertheless, I live. Yet it's not Christ. It's not, I am crucified with Christ, and nevertheless, I live by the life of Jesus Christ that he laid down for me. So how can we apply that to chapter 4 of verse 1 in Peter? It's that now that Christ has suffered in the flesh, Christ died, literally died, we can arm ourselves with the same purpose. Christ died in the flesh, and he's asking us to also die to the flesh and cease our sinning. The Bible says, live the rest of the time that we're living in our natural body, no longer for the lust of men. So in other words, let me break it down. And I'm going to do what we say in a lot of our common contemporary vernacular. Right now in 2015, you're going to hear a lot of young people say, I'm going in. I'm going in means I'm going to get a little bit more than surface now. I'm going to go into the depths of whatever they're doing. Sometimes they say, I'm going in to party, means I'm really going to let everything go and I'm going to party hard. But I'm going to use this term right now to mean I am going into the Word of God to break this down by the anointing of God so that we can understand what we're supposed to be doing in this season. Now, when Peter is speaking here, Peter, the Apostle Peter, is saying that we've already suffered in the flesh, and so now we need to cease suffering in the flesh, meaning doing those hard sins and living for the world. Now what we need to do is suffer in the flesh and to the lust of the world and live in the will of God. Let me go back again. I'm going to read it a third time. Therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, died for us, arm ourselves also with the same purpose. We're going to die to the things of this world, because he, meaning Christ, has suffered in the flesh. We can cease from sin. Why? Because we're taking on Christ in us. That's what it means in Galatians. Christ in us. So Christ in us, having died to the things of this world, we know that he never sinned. You and I can continue to live even in the flesh, but not of the flesh, in the flesh, no longer for the lust of men. We're going to live in our natural body until Jesus delivers us from this body. We're going to live for the will of God. That's the second and last part of verse 2. I'm going to say it another time. For this time, we live no longer for the lust of men, but for the will of God. So that's God's instructions to us in this season, living no longer for the lust of men, but for the will of God. Here we go in verse 3. For the time already past is enough. sufficient for you to have carried out the desires of the Gentiles. We know that when we were not in Christ, we lived for the world. We lived the desire of the Gentiles. And we pursued, when we did not live for Christ, we pursued a course of sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, and abominable idolatry. So that's how we lived our former life before we met Jesus Christ. But now that we're followers of Christ, in all this, verse 4, the world that's still doing these things that we did before we met God, before he changed us, before he transformed us, they're surprised that you do not run with them into the same excesses of dissipation, and they malign you. But what does that mean, dissipation? They're surprised that you will not have the same excesses of dissipation. Well, here goes what dissipation means. It means wasteful expenditure or consumption. It means indulgence in sensual pleasure. It means intemperance, unrestrained indulgence in physical pleasures, like excess of drinking, expenditures to the excess, meaning that you take your money, even though you know you don't have this kind of money to spend on, you know, frivolous things that you buy and purchases that you make, wasting the money, but you will do that because you're involved in dissipation. You're involved in expenditures that are wasteful, consuming things that will satisfy the sensual pleasures. And that's what the word dissipation means. It means that we are doing things to satisfy our natural senses, and we're all about pleasing, you know, the sensuality part of ourselves. And that is what it means. And so even we know that if we're not careful, even the believing saint of God can get caught up in this when they're not doing what Christ tells them to do, or when I'm not doing what Christ tells them to do. And so when your neighbors or your family members or even carnal Christians, this is what Peter is saying in verse 4, in all this, they're surprised that you don't run with them into the same excesses of dissipation. And they malign you. Now they're going to malign you because you're not doing what they're doing. So they don't like you. So they're going to malign you. And what does the word malign mean? It means that they're going to actually try to make some statement about you that is not true, some harmful statement. They're going to try to mess up your reputation. They're going to say that you did something evil. You did something that was wrong. You did something that was unnatural. They're going to try to willfully malign your good reputation. That's what it means. And they'll give account. The Bible says, Peter says, don't worry about people that do that. They will give account to him. That's with a capital H, meaning Jesus, meaning the Father. They're going to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. Don't get caught up with people maligning your name in this season that you're living in. Just make sure that you're no longer living as you did when you were following the world. Do not live like the Gentiles live, but live as though you have been delivered because you are delivered. You do no longer have to live according to the lust of men, but now live in the will of God. This is God's instructions to us in this season. So the gospel has for this purpose been preached even to those who are dead, that though they are judged in the flesh as men, they may live in the spirit according to the will of God. Now that's God's instruction for you and for me right now in this season, that we should live dead to the things of the world and live in the spirit according to the will of God. For the end of all things is near. Verse 7. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. So you and I should be men and women of prayer. If we're not praying in this season, we're not being effective in this time. God will not be able to use us the way that he wants to use us. We will not walk into our God-given destiny if we're not people of prayer in this season that we're living in. We've got to be of sound judgment. If we're caught up in dissipation, if we're caught up in the lust of this world, if we're caught up in carousing and drunkenness and parties and abominable idolatries, we will not be able to be effective in this season. I mean, we're living in a world, brothers and sisters in Christ, when you've got mega churches, that when they're having a youth conference, some of them, and I know of one specifically, and I might just expose that in one of our future events, because by me exposing it, I am not doing anything that I should not be doing. If they're doing something in a public place, they can be exposed publicly. If I make a statement publicly, I can be exposed publicly. Now, what I say to you in secret, that's something different. But when you get on a public platform and you do things publicly, it can be publicly challenged. Always remember that. And so when you say something in public and somebody challenges you, don't take it wrong. Just be able to come up and give a good response. So we've got people right now that they're holding youth conferences, and in the youth conference, when they have what they call a pre-service, they're playing songs of the world. They're playing Beyonce. They're playing the late Michael Jackson. They're playing Katy Perry. They're playing you name it, and they're playing it. They're playing Justin Bieber. And my question is, why? That's mixing the world, and it's actually, this isn't a spiritual conference. Before they actually go and supposedly sing the praises of God, they've already introduced the spirits of the world. And so now, how are they going to, as an afterthought, then bring in praising to Jesus? I don't understand it. And the songs they're singing are not songs about God or glorifying God, but they're all songs about living for the world, pleasing the flesh, and living contrary to the way that God has commanded us to live. And yet they're doing this in a Christian, quote-unquote, setting. This goes very much against the grain. And so we've got to know what is God telling us to do and mind what God tells us to do and not mix in the world. Can you imagine going to a worldly concert and then playing the blood of Jesus, or there's power in the blood of Jesus? You're never going to hear that, because at least the world knows that this does not pertain to their agenda. So you're never going to hear, you know, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty at a worldly concert. And it makes sense, because if you go to a worldly concert, you know you're going to be involved with the things of the world. And if you go to a Christian concert or conference, you should expect that you will be encouraged and exhorted about the things of Christ, not that you'll be entertained with worldly songs. But this is where we are in 2015, and it's frightening. The Bible says that we need to, in verse 8 of chapter 4, I'm reading from 1 Peter, above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because God covers a multitude of sins. If you know that you have a brother or a sister in Christ, and they slip up, not because they willfully go and with a rebellious spirit, I'm going to sin, I'm going to be evil, I'm going to do what the Word of God tells me not to do. This is not what this verse is talking about. It's talking about that sister, that brother in Christ, that they really want to live for God. I mean, they are broken over their sin and sinfulness. They do not want to cater to the things of this world. They want to please God, but they fallen sin. We're not to go and run and expose what they've done. We're to cover them. We're to encourage them. We're to pray with them, pray for them. We're to fast for them. That's what the Bible means here. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable. You know, open up your home that God gave you to bless somebody, to prepare a meal for them, to encourage them, to bring them in and pray with them. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. Why? Because everything that we have, God has given it to us. There's nothing that we have that we can say that we got this fully on our own and God had nothing to do with it. That's just not true. It's just not reality. Everything that we have that's good comes from God, comes from above. Amen. And so we need to be encouraged in this day. We need to understand what should we be doing when we see the world going crazy and even some people that claim to be followers of God not doing the things that God has really told them to do. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to be very diligent in this hour. And please remember the admonition of Moses to his protege, Joshua, in Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 and 9. It reads like this: only be strong and very courageous. Saints, let me stop here. Today, this is not for the faint at heart. This is not for the Mickey Mouse, or this is not for the, you know, tiptoe through the tulip type believer. The challenge before the church, the real church of God today, is that we have to live Jesus' way. We've got to go back to the Word of God. We've got to see, how does God want us to live in this time? We've got to be strong. We've got to be courageous. We cannot be fearful. We know that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. Again, we get this from Peter. He says it in his epistle. God does not give us a spirit of fear. If you're fearful, we know that you do not get that from God. God has not given you a spirit of fear. That's what the world would like you to have, a spirit of fear. The world would like you to be afraid. The world would like you to be intimidated. The world would like to now push you in the closet and close the door. But now, what Moses told Joshua is, I want you to be strong and very courageous. Why? So that by being strong and courageous, you may observe to do according to everything that the law of Moses commands you to do. And I'm not saying that we have to follow every Levitical law. If you've been washed in the blood of Jesus and by his blood and have been clean, God's now written his law on your heart. You don't have to follow the Levitical law per se, but he's written his law on your heart. And so even to follow God's law that's written on your heart today, you've got to be strong. You've got to be courageous. You've got to honor God. And then he says, in serving God and honoring God, do not turn from the word of God. Don't turn to it one way or the other, but be direct about it. Don't try to sanitize God's word. What does that mean? Don't try to clean up God's word. If God says that this is wrong, that's wrong. Don't try to make it, you know, sound better and pleasing so that, you know, you can still try to see how you can get away and do that and still be labeled Christian. It's not about that. For instance, I was in a youth meeting on Saturday, and one of the questions came up about fornication. Fornication, well, literally, they asked the question about premarital sex. I'm the one who explained that premarital sex, sex outside of the marriage covenant, is fornication. That's what the Bible terms it. And so if I were to try to sanitize that I would say something like this. Well, God knows your heart, and God knows that even if you're not married to each other, but you intend to get married at some point down the road, well, maybe it's okay if you go ahead and, you know, be sexually intimate with your boyfriend or your girlfriend because God knows your heart. See, now that is corrupting the Word of God. That is called, quote unquote, sanitizing it. It's trying to water it down, not bring the Word the way that God brings it in the Word of God. The Word of God calls, and I'm just bringing this up, that's just one out of hundreds of things that we could do that's wrong, that would not please God. I'm just bringing that up because it just recently came up in a conversation on Saturday. So premarital sex is sin. Premarital sex is fornication. And so when I have to deal with that in my own life, and I'm dealing that trying to help somebody else, I have to be strong and courageous, and I'm not going to turn from the truth of God's word. The Bible says, do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, but keep the word of God, the pure word of God, so that what? So that you can prosper wherever you go. God's word to us and God's word to humanity is not to keep us away from a good time. It's exactly to the contrary. God's word to us is to give us the best time, the best possible time, so that later on we don't have to regret. We don't have to hang our heads down in shame. But we can celebrate God and his word and keeping his word. God's word repeats these admonitions in 2 Peter chapter 3. And he speaks about the apostate state of the end time. He speaks about that. And even in Jude 16-19. And even Romans chapter 1, verses 24 to 32. And several other scriptures throughout the Word of God. Now, if you're a believer, you need to go and read 2 Peter 3 and see what God says about the apostate state at the end time. You need to go to Jude 16 through 19. You need to take your Bible and study Romans 1, 24 to 32. You need to study all the other scriptures throughout the Word of God. So let's just look at what are God's instructions to us in this season. I'm going to break it down in three different ways by the grace of God. One, first, we must not be all over the place. And what do I mean by that? We need to be intentional in our walk with God. You and I should not just, you know, wake up in the day, take our shower, put our clothes on, go out, and then face the day. We should, when God blesses us enough to give us life, get up and commit that day, commit ourselves, commit our family, commit our loved ones, commit the people that God's placed in our lives to Christ, and be intentional in our walk with God, so that we can do exactly what Peter admonished us to do in this chapter 4. So that we will no longer live according to the lust of men, but we're going to begin to live in the will of God. Because we've already had a good time in the world. Come on, let's just get real. Let's just keep it real. We've already had sufficient of the world's ways and all the practices of the world, the desires of the Gentiles. We've had our fill with that. We don't need to experience the desires of the world anymore. We don't need to go the way of the Gentiles anymore. We've already pursued a course of sensuality, a lust, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, abominable idolatry. And even for those of you that maybe you never got drunk or you never were really carousing in parties till 2 and 3 and 5 o'clock in the morning, and you consider yourself that, you know, I've never done any of these things, so I'm okay. No, you're not. Because all of us have sinned. We were all born in sin and shaped in iniquity. We were all doing things that were contrary to the way of God. We have all offended God at some point or the other. So now what God is saying, and his apostle, the man of God, Peter, is exhorting us. He's saying, okay, you know what? You've had enough time of doing your own thing and going your own way and pleasing yourself and pleasing the world. Now, spend the rest of your natural days according to the will of God. And that's God's instructions for you and for me. And you might ask the question, well, okay, that's easy for you to say, but how do I do that? Well, I've got the same challenges, my friend, that you do. I've got the exact same challenges. I fall down just like you fall down. I'm tempted just like you're tempted. You know, I've sinned just like you've sinned. Jesus had to save me just like how Jesus had to save you. However, I've intentionally desired and made up in my mind that as long as God gives me strength, I want to follow God. And so I want to be intentional in pursuing the things that God wants me to pursue. I want to say no to the devil. I want to say yes to God. So the first order of the day in following God's instructions is that we need to be intentional in our walk with God. We need to be understanding. We need to be cognizant and aware of who God is and who he's made us to be in Christ. As it says in Ephesians, he has made us to be in him. And we are his workmanship. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So that's the first thing in following God's instructions for us in this season. I believe it's one of the last end time seasons. I believe that you and I have been ordained of God to live in this end time. God has a purpose and God has a destiny for you and for me. And that's why you're alive today. Amen. So the first thing, be intentional. Don't just be all over the place. Don't just let things just, quote unquote, happen and you're oblivious to what's going on. Be sensitive to the Spirit. Be sensitive to how God is moving. And be intentional. Commit your life, commit your day to God each and every day. Two, understand the times and the seasons that you and I are living in. Paul teaches his spiritual son Timothy that in the last days, perilous times will come. At the very beginning of this message, this teaching, I just talked a little bit about some of what's going on in our world. And if this is not perilous times, I don't know what perilous times are going to look like. If we are in a day when women are recorded and videotaped eating food, drinking wine, speaking casually about selling little innocent baby parts. These are not fetuses, ladies and gentlemen. Like people like to use that term. Fetuses. We're talking about human baby parts. We're talking about little babies that were created in the image and the likeness of God being chopped up willfully in certain ways and sold. People getting money for the body parts. And then they're being used for whatever reasons they're being used. And I can guarantee they're being used for STEM research, but they're not only being used for STEM research. I can guarantee you that. They're being used, and you can just imagine, for all sorts of things. And they're all evil. And God detests it, and God will hold this nation responsible. So, yes, we are living in perilous times, and you and I must be aware that perilous times will come, and in 2015, perilous times have already come. We've got military men being gunned down by terrorists that have come from other nations and are living in our borders. Yes, we're living in perilous times. When a woman can wind up dead because she went into the wrong lane, or she went into a lane because she didn't turn on her signal appropriately, and now she's dead. Oh yes, we're living in perilous times. When a man can go into a church that is having Bible study, and he can sit down with them and stay there for about an hour and then shoot them dead inside the church, you and I are living in perilous times. Make no mistake about it. So it's time for the church, the true church of God, to arise, to take the blindfolders off, to stop with all of the ridiculousness and the, you know, the unnecessary laughing. And yes, Sister Pearl does laugh. Because the Bible says we're supposed to, you know, there's a time for everything. There's a time for laughing. There's a time for crying. There's a time to be happy. There's a time to be sad. There's a time to go to war. There's a time to have peace. Yeah, we understand that. But one of the things that we're being taught through the Word of God and by the Apostle Peter is that we should not, you know, live in dissipation. It's not only talking about wasting our time and wasting our monies in things that are frivolous, but even, you know, our mind. So many times I see the people of God laughing about all sorts of stuff that we shouldn't be laughing about. We should be serious. The Bible tells us to be sober. It doesn't mean just be sober because you're not being drunk with alcohol. It means be sober spiritually. Be sober mentally. Do not be taken away with the things of this world. And don't let the world teach you what you should put as important. When they had this thing with Caitlyn Jenner, which is really Bruce Jenner, he's a man. I don't care what people say. He is fully a man. Because if you'd listened to our Kingdom Perspective last program, you would understand that Bruce Jenner, now Caitlyn Jenner, is walking around with all of his male equipment. And so he is still a man. So, people of God, I don't care how the world lies, and I don't care what labels they call things, we have to look at things the way God looks at things at the end of the day. And that's what it means about being intentional, and that's what it means about understand the day that you're living in. You're not living in a ha-ha time. You're living in perilous times. So sober up, man of God. Sober up, woman of God. Put your spiritual seat belt on, because you're in a journey, and hopefully you're on your way to the heavenly kingdom. But on this journey, you need to be belted up. You and I need to be belted up. We need to be sober. We need to have the helmet of salvation on and not be loose and not be careless. Point three, we need not to rely on corrupt wisdom. Now, this is our boast. I'm reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 12. Our conscience testifies that we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially in our relations with you, with integrity and godly sincerity. We have done so relying not on worldly wisdom, but on God's grace. What is Paul saying in this portion of 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 12? First of all, who is he talking to? He's talking to a very worldly church. He's talking to the church at Corinth. And I can tell you with full shame, he's talking to the church in America. Because for the most part, the church in America, I said for the most part, I know that God has a remnant church in America, thank God. I pray that I'm one of those members belonging to that remnant church. I pray that you're one of those people belonging to that remnant church. I know that God has a remnant church in Australia. I know that God has a remnant church in Europe. I know that God has a remnant church in Asia. God has a remnant church in many of the nations of Africa and South America and Central America and Alaska. But can I be sincere? there's also a great portion of people that call themselves belonging to the quote-unquote church that are not really the remnant church. They're like the church at Corinth. They're the church that would have all kind of sin going on inside of the house of God, people living in sin inside the house of God, doing things inside the house of God, doing things outside the house of God, coming back into the four walls of the building, because we know that the building is not really the church. The church are God's people that have been called out of darkness and called into his glorious light, the ecclesia, we're the church. However, a lot of people calling themselves and claiming to be the church. This is who the Apostle Paul is talking to in Corinth. He is saying, and he's admonishing them and encouraging them not to rely on corrupt wisdom. Because you want to know something? A lot of the wisdom in our church in America today and around the world is corrupt. It's wisdom according to Newsweek, wisdom according to Time Magazine, wisdom according to the five Supreme Court justices that voted in same-sex marriage. That is corrupt wisdom. And it's not even wisdom. It's folly. Is this a hard message today? Is this a tight message today? I feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit in this teaching today, perhaps like none other. I believe I am speaking exactly what God has asked me to speak. I believe I'm being faithful to God's word this morning. And whenever you're listening, you might be listening to this at midnight. But this is the word of God for the people of God in this season. This is God's instructions to us in this season. I'm going to read again that portion from 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 12. Our conscience testifies that we have conducted ourselves in the world, and you and I are still living in the world. If you're hearing this message, you're still living in the world. And so Paul the apostle, he had lived in the world, but he had conducted the business that he had with the church at Corinth with integrity, with godly sincerity. He didn't sugarcoat God's word to the church at Corinth. And we should not be sugarcoating. You heard me explain what I meant by sanitizing. We should not be sanitizing the word of God in this season, but we should speak with integrity and godly sincerity. And Paul says to Corinth, we've done so because we did not rely, we did not depend, we did not lean on worldly wisdom, but we depended and we continue to rely on God's grace. God's grace does not only mean his unmerited favor. It means that one day, by the grace of God, if I'm given the opportunity, I would like to talk about the other side of God's grace. Perhaps the most important side of God's grace. God's grace also means his influence on the heart of a man and a woman that totally belongs to him. So while it means unmerited favor, God's grace also means the ability to be godlike, the ability to imitate the way and follow the way that God goes. So if God goes this way, I go this way. If God is leaning that way, I lean that way. If God is saying that, I say that. That's God's grace in my life. It's the influence. God's influence upon my heart is God's grace in my life. That's how come you can see people that are physically incapacitated, and yet they are so filled with the power of God and the hope of God in their life. They're not like, woe is me, and feeling sorry for themselves. They're filled with the grace of God, God's influence upon their life, upon their heart, is clearly seen. That's the grace of God in them. Even though they go through a lot of physical pain and hardship, that's the grace of God in their life. We've taken this understanding of God's grace being unmerited favor to only understand that. God's influence on my life is his grace in my life. And finally, in this teaching, God's instructions to you and to me as a child of God that want to please God in this last day. I want to read in closing. Want to read from a very beautiful portion of scripture in Philippians. This is Paul speaking to the Philippian church. God's instructions to you and to me in this season is he's encouraging us to shine bright. Bright is the morning sun, and bright is the most beautiful star in a black lit sky. I'm reading from Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. Do all things without grumbling and disputing, O child of God, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach, in the very midst, in the middle of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. And then verse 16, holding fast the word of life. That Bible that you've got, that holy Bible, hold fast to it. It's the word of life, so that in the day of Christ, I will have reason to glory, because I did not run in vain, nor toil in vain. Wow. Paul is saying to the church at Philippi, I want to have reason to glory, knowing that what I taught you, because I received it from the Holy Spirit himself, I would not have run my race in vain or toiled among you, church, at Philippi in vain. And I believe that he is speaking to us, even though he's gone on and he's in heaven with the Lord. But you and I know that God breathed that word through Paul. It was the Holy Spirit that breathed through men to give us the word of God. So he's speaking to you and he's speaking to me today. Let's not grumble. Let's not dispute. Please, just give it up. So that we would be able to prove ourselves as blameless and innocent children of God, above reproach. Nobody can point to us a finger and call us guilty and be true. Whatever they say, they'll be wrong. Because our witness will be above reproach, in the midst, right in the middle of a very crooked and perverted generation. And you know, that's where you and I live right now. Right now, we're living in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. But in the middle of that, God wants us to appear as lights in the world. And remember, always remember this. We don't do this. We don't follow his precepts by our own strength. No, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So we have been given the power of God, the dunamis of the Holy Spirit. We can do all things through Christ. It's not my power. It's not the power of Sister Pearl. It's not your power. Thank God. It's like we said in that message about hope. We have hope in Christ because of him. Because he lives inside of us. Amen. And so we can do these things because of the life of Jesus in us. It's the life of God in us that we can be faithful to carry out what God wants us to do in this last season. So, these are the instructions of God. We're going to be intentional. We're going to understand the day that we're living in. It's perilous times, and we're not going to depend on corrupt wisdom. We're going to trust the wisdom of God to help us to be faithful to the destiny and the call of God in our life in this season. Sister Pearl loves you, but even more, Jesus loves you. He's anointed you to be faithful to everything he's called you to be. Lights, shining stars in this last season. God loves you. God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Go and be lights for his glory. Amen. Bye-bye.